Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the spiritual hierarchy. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. The Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy. And those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The great hierarchy of being. That chain of life in which the smallest link is of importance, and the greatest link is related to the smallest, through the electrical interplay of spiritual energy. There is naught but hierarchy. Why do you think the concept of hierarchy is so unpopular today?
I suppose it has to do with a number of things. One is just the general tenor of the times is to be inclusive and to be very mindful of the sensitivities of other people, other groups, other cultures and traditions. And that has, I think, fostered a reluctance to judge, which is good and based on goodwill, a reluctance to judge, a reluctance to impinge on people's freedom. And one of the common misunderstandings of hierarchy is the fear that it is authoritarian and that it would impinge on and inhibit a person's freedom. Freedom is very much a value of the times, and rightly so. But the hierarchy and the concept of a hierarchical gradation of being in the spiritual sense has nothing to do with the loss of freedom or the imposition of authority. Nothing at all. It's rather an explanation for how evolution proceeds and how every living thing progresses and develops and expands and makes his, her, or its way on the spiritual path of evolution. Because as we've said so many times, every atom of life is in process of evolution, not just human beings, but the tiniest molecules are progressing. Everything is growing and evolving, and it does so by the impact of a greater life, a greater sphere of consciousness upon its own little life and consciousness. The greater evokes response from the lesser. That's the nature of the chain of being, which is hierarchical. If we were all at the same level, there wouldn't be that growth. So these are ideas or concepts that it's really important to take on board when we talk about the hierarchy. We're not talking about authority, and we're not talking about the loss of freedom.
No, absolutely not. And in fact, one of the tenets of the hierarchy is that humanity must retain its own free will. And that's a very strict law that the hierarchy, the spiritual members of the hierarchy, do not violate. They allow human beings to exercise their own free will, and we do, and we make a lot of mistakes, but we learn from those mistakes and we move on. And that's the whole process of evolution. That's how we learn. And so the free will that human beings have is very important as a kind of a driving force.
And I think there are examples of hierarchical structure that we are probably more familiar with than we might realize, and they do foster the free will. The very meaning of education, educare, means to lead out or to evoke, and any good teacher is an example of the hierarchical passing of energy or stimulation by means of the greater knowledge and wisdom of the teacher upon the receptive student. I was listening to an interview with Beverly Sills, the great singer, not too long ago, and she spoke of one great advantage she had had in her career, which was that she had had from childhood on one teacher of voice. And apparently that meant one person who thoroughly understood her vocal mechanism and helped her over the years of training to bring out the best in it. That's an example, I think, of a hierarchical passing of wisdom and knowledge from the teacher to the student, Beverly Sills, who became a splendid example of what the human voice can produce. Abraham Maslow, the psychologist, spoke of a hierarchy of needs, meaning that there's a gradation of needs depending upon where the human being is polarized in his or her development. All of us have needs that are very basic for food, clothing, shelter, but as those are met, then our needs progress up a spiral, you could say, of refining and more subtle values. And he spoke of examples like Einstein and Jane Addams and Frederick Douglass and Eleanor Roosevelt as embodiments of the higher needs of the soul or spirit. I don't know if he used the word soul or spirit, but I believe that's what he was implying. So the hierarchical differences in human beings are present, and all intelligent people recognize them. It's just that they are not due to caste or birth or the wrong roll of the dice. They are to do with consciousness and open to all of us.
Yeah, well, that's what we have to realize, that there are these infinite gradations in consciousness, and those are what makes the difference. As a human race, we are all one, and that's what so many people like to say. We are all one, so we should all be the same, but we are not the same in consciousness, and it is these gradations that make all the difference, because we as you mentioned, we have these outstanding examples of leadership in the world, in the past and in the present, and those are the ones that inspire those who are of a lesser stature, a lesser consciousness, and we should recognize that these differences do exist and admit them, and they don't mean that one is more superior than another. It just means that they have perhaps had a little bit more experience on the path of life and are at a more advanced stage, and that's what the members of the spiritual hierarchy are. They are more advanced human beings. They've been through this human stage, and they've experienced all the pain and suffering that we all experience in the human kingdom. And they've learned to master those forces that create pain. So that's why they have been able to move on into the spiritual realm.
Yes, they're called masters because they have mastered life in what are called the three worlds, the mental, emotional, and physical worlds that we inhabit. They've mastered the pain, as you said, and the challenges and the difficulties of living on Earth in form. That should give us hope, not a sense of being alienated or left out, because the spiritual hierarchy embodies what is potential within every human being. I think it was St. Paul who spoke of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ in you abides not just in Christian hearts, but in every human heart. It's that potential of the soul or the Buddhic principle to gain in wisdom, in love, in compassion, in intelligence through experience and through spiritual awakening. And the masters, known as the kingdom of souls, the hierarchy, the spiritual hierarchy, exists to prompt that awakening. Wouldn't you say they're sort of prompters?
Well, they do. They inspire by way of the human mind. They inspire by dropping certain ideas. They don't force us to accept certain ideas, but they oftentimes will drop ideas into an awakened mind that is receptive to the thought currents that they put out, and that's how how we advance by these great ideas, and that's how they always work, by way of the soul, by way of the mind, not so much by way of the physical surroundings.
That makes me wonder. I was reading just this morning about the Pakistani or Bangladeshi banker who just won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yunus.
Yes, Yunus, thank you. Who began the micro-lending program. He developed the idea, as far as I know, perhaps 20 years ago. He was an economist by training, who wondered what to do about poverty, and it occurred to him that lending money to extremely poor people might give them a leg up. And all the advice of the time was that they're so poor they wouldn't be able to pay him back. And what he found was that they do pay back, and they do flourish with micro-lending. $50, $100 can turn a life around and transform a village. And I wondered if that idea, which was so against the whole thinking of the financial and economic realm, was prompted by great masters of the wisdom who oversee every aspect of life, including finance. If the masters are not concerned with global poverty, I don't know what they should be worried about, because that, to me, is one of the worst problems of all.
Well, the masters are concerned with all aspects of life, from politics and religion and education and the arts and science and psychology and finance, and every aspect of life is a matter for the hierarchy to be concerned about, and they do oversee these great movements, and so it's. It could very well be in this case where he was impressed by the idea to promote this whole idea of micro-lending.
And again, that if that were true, it's just a thought and a theory, but if it were true, it would again play out demonstrate the principle of the hierarchical gradation of life, in that the spiritual hierarchy depends upon responsive human minds to accomplish the work in the world. They don't overcome or impinge on human free will, but they seek to evoke responsive human wills. And perhaps people like Yunus responded to the prompting of the hierarchy in the development of micro-lending. He was needed with his education in economics and his contacts in the world and his understanding of poverty to implement a program for the very poor that is now being duplicated by a number of different groups quite successfully. So they depend upon responsive minds, and we might as well entertain the idea of our own pitifully small minds trying to respond to what the hierarchy wants, which is a good question. What do they want?
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is the spiritual hierarchy. And we have a gift for you today. This is certainly an appropriate time to for Lucis Trust to offer you a gift, absolutely no charge, not even a shipping charge. And what Lucis Trust is giving you is a booklet, and it qualifies more as a pamphlet. The spiritual, you know, that conflict of a spiritual over booklet or pamphlet, right? That pamphlet is called The Spiritual Hierarchy, and I really think it gives you some good insights and further depth on today's discussion that Sarah and Dale are involved in. And some of the topics are the nature of the hierarchy. In other words, who are they? Masters of the wisdom. Speaking about the wisdom that they've gained over their life experiences. And also, I think for a lot of us who are perhaps nervous about reality, some of the things that are going on today, there's also an aspect of the pamphlet that goes into a little bit of depth on there is a plan. So I think that gives us some hope. However, if you are intrigued by this pamphlet and you do read it and you want to even go into greater depth on the spiritual hierarchy, of course, one of the things you might do is to delve into the 24 books, the 24 esoteric books of esoteric philosophy that are written by Alice Bailey. And hopefully you'll be stimulated by this pamphlet to do so. If you're interested in getting the free pamphlet, just give us a call. You can phone us on a toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. Just give us a call and tell us that you would like us to send the Spiritual Hierarchy pamphlet out to you. We'll be very happy to do that. And the easy way to remember our toll-free number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. We have a website, by the way, and all of our inner site programs can be heard on our website, which is www.lucistrust.org. What we've done is we've archived an entire library of our radio shows. And a lot of people seem to like listening to them. They get keyed into that website is keyed into quite frequently. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. And now this is important. It costs quite a bit of money to stay on this this radio on WOR, and we certainly want to be here. We want to continue our shows, but the only way we can do that really is by you continuing to donate, because it's your donations that pay for this show, and we really thank you for your support, both present and past. There's certainly also an expression to us of how you feel about the show and of your support for the entire organization, with the entire Lucis Trust. So send your donations to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S for Lucis, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I was looking at the opening thought, and one part of the opening thought that might confuse people is the last sentence that we took from the from the Alice Bailey literature, and I did read it at the beginning of the show. There is naught but hierarchy, and that might confuse people because, in effect, I guess what Alice Bailey is saying is that there is nothing but hierarchy, and that might be very confusing. Could you go a little bit further into that?
I can only give my thoughts on what is meant in that statement. It is a bit perplexing. There is naught but hierarchy. And one might say, but there are rats and moles and amoebas and good people and bad people. And yes, there's a whole range of awareness from the most splendid examples of human beings and their attainments down to the little amoeba and worm. But I think what she's implying is that every living thing, every atom of life is responsive to the impulse of the greater life in which it exists. We don't live as little islands entirely separate from the rest of the manifested world. We live within a great life. We are part of a great life called our planet, and the planet exists within the solar system. We are living within a larger life, no matter whether we are a shellfish or a dog or a human being or a master of the wisdom. That gives us the capacity to grow and evolve, because we depend upon that higher life to make impact upon us and awaken our consciousness. It starts with the parents bringing up the child, with the teacher bringing something out of his students that might not have been realized.
It starts also with oneself, because each person is a hierarchy within himself or herself. I mean, we have this higher self, the soul self, that is the kind of the inspiring and actually the source of our very being and life and consciousness. And then there is the lower self and the personality self. And so there is this gradation within the human being himself. And it's the higher self that brings out the best that is in the physical and mental expression of the personality.
That's kind of a startling thought, to think that we are ourselves, each one of us, a hierarchical structure. But the writings of Alice Bailey speak of that phrase, "I am the life to these my lives, and so resemble God." To me, that reminds us that our body, for one, is in our care and dependent upon our right attitude towards it. So many of us kind of ignore and even abuse the body's needs by not feeding it properly, not giving it proper nourishment, exercise, pure food, pure drink, pure thought. That also affects the body. So there we are, you're right, we are a hierarchy. Perhaps we should say more, though, about the hierarchy, capital H, which is the spiritual hierarchy, the masters. For eons of time, they, according to the ageless wisdom, stood behind human affairs and could not, would not intervene, because human beings, as I understand it, were so mentally unawakened. There wasn't really a mind sufficient to respond to spiritual impulse, and that's a factor of modern times that has changed.
Yes, the change goes way back to Atlantis, we're told. In Atlantean times, in those days, the human being at that time wasn't as evolved as it is today, and it was more emotionally polarized. And so the masters of the wisdom at the time were walking physically among the people, directing their life more directly, and they were deeply involved in the personal day-to-day lives of people, and they were providing the guidance needed for this kind of infant humanity. But then there was the great cataclysm that resulted in the great battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, and it is said that the hierarchy withdrew at that time, and that has been the case for millions of years. But it's now the time when humanity has evolved, so the mind is more awake, and human beings can act as their own guides in the world, and so the hierarchy is once again making an effort and preparing the way for an eventual re-externalization, become more actively involved in the daily lives of humanity.
But they depend on the human intelligence and the mental awareness to be able to work with us. And that, to me, is again a validation that they never impinge on human free will. We can't have a will if we don't have a mind, I don't think. We can be a raging bundle of desire, but that's not having a will. the will requires a mind and an ability to plan and direct one's activities and intentions, and that's what's coming alive because, well, because of the increasingly mass literacy of humanity, the human species is just a lot more responsive. So it's a very, very fruitful and promising time in spite of the way things look on the outer planes. In fact, I think some of the collapses on the outer levels are just a way of clearing the decks for better things.
Right, yes. There's a lot of preparation work, and a lot of that preparation work is actually the destruction of old forms that are no longer adequate to contain the new life that is trying to manifest. So that's why we see so much chaos going on in the world, I think, this time.
The writings of Alice Bailey speak of the fire of God, which brings to an end cycles, ideologies, civilizations, and organizations when the right time comes. And it's done in order to make place for better, less limiting forms. This is an aspect of the Master's work on behalf of our planet that we cannot begin to comprehend. But to me, it gives hope that the devastation and destruction are simply clearing the way for something finer and better. I think we all realize that we are very much in a preparatory time. Ancient teaching has always forecast this end of the age when the person known as the Christ to Christians, the Messiah, the world teacher, will return and be active among humanity on the outer level. And that's the fulfillment of hierarchy. That being, that world teacher, is the head of the hierarchy. His presence in outer form on Earth could only be tremendously invocative and stimulating, and we would have to hope we would all be ready to respond and cooperate with this great individual. Perhaps in the next program we can talk a bit more about some of the ramifications of that idea.
Please take advantage of the offer from Lucis Trust, and it's a gift to you. And the title of the pamphlet that we're giving to you is The Spiritual Hierarchy. It's a pamphlet available at no charge. Once again, it's an offer from Lucis Trust to you. So if you want to take advantage of that gift, give us a call. We'll be certainly happy to send it out to you, totally free of charge. 1-866-695-8247. That's a toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.